Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for this glorious time of singing and worship where we have celebrated your goodness. Feed us from the goodness of your word. Father, fulfill our hearts so that they may rest in your glorious presence. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Hey, all the young people, I guess many of them have gone, but didn't they do a great job? Who put that together for those kiddos? Marshall and Judy, y'all, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good for our children to be taught to give, love, serve. And what a welcome is that, to have a young child welcome you in the Lord. And so what a great way to start the day. Now that your glucose levels and needs have been met, I expect everyone to stay awake during today's lesson. Amen? All right. If not, go ahead and get you another little Hershey kiss. You'll be all right. Want to begin this morning by telling you a story about a farmer. There was this farmer that was in need of water, and he started digging a well. And he dug and he dug, and the hole got deeper, but he never reached water. And he thought to himself, I must be digging in the wrong place. And so the next day he got up and he started digging, and he dug and he dug, and realized, well, I must be digging in the wrong place. And he repeated this day after day. There was a wise man that came walking by and observed what the man had been doing. And he spoke to him. He said, sir, he said, rather than digging in different places, why don't you just pick a spot and go deeper there? Well, the farmer took his advice and started digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And he finally reached the water. And it was in more abundance than any he had ever imagined. I want to ask you this morning to think about where you are digging right now in your life. And what are you digging for? I want us this morning to stake out a dig. Usually when I hear the word staking out a dig, it's usually you're digging for treasure, right? Or you're digging to recover goods, from treasures from years gone by. Well, there is a treasure that I want us to understand. And this treasure is this thing right here. It's called the Bible, or Scripture, or God's Word. And I wonder, the question I want us to think about in our minds today is, are we digging? Are we going deep? So that we can get that water from the well that God so abundantly wants to bless our lives with today. I want us to take time to stake out a dig, to go digging in God's Word. I want to encourage us to go dig in the right places. Because when we dig in the wrong places, what do we have to do in our life? If you dig in the wrong place and you keep digging in the wrong place, sooner or later you're going to have to dig out to get out of that. An image that comes to my mind real recently, not that I've experienced it here in El Campo, but have y'all seen all those Northeasterners, those Yankees up there trying to shovel out from the snow? They hate the snowplow guys that push that snow out of the street, but where does it go? It piles up on the vehicles, and when you've had a lot of snow, those vehicles, they become inoperative. They can't go mobile like they were designed to do. You get in it, you put it in gear, all you're going to do is sit there and spin. Can't go back, can't go forwards, because you're snowed in. That's exactly what Satan wants done in our lives. He wants us inoperable. He wants us immobile. He does not want us effective in our lives. So we might need to do some digging out today and realize the place in our life where we want to dig in. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Get your good words out, Mark chapter 4. All right, some of you that have the new technology, I'm assuming you're not on Facebook and you're not texting. So if you can go to your Bible app, you can go there too. But I need some neighbor patrol, so if y'all will look over your neighbor's shoulder, correct them if they get astray, okay? Because no distractions, no distractions. All right, okay. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. You all know the story here. Jesus loved to tell stories that involved agricultural imagery. it was very common from everybody's experience of that day. So it was very natural for Jesus to tell stories, to share parables and truths from God's word, from the life that they were so familiar with. And this is one of those, where this farmer goes out and he sows the seed. And Jesus applies the word here, and listen to what he says about the effect, the potential effect of God's word on someone's life. Look here, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where they hear the word that is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and snatches that word that was sown in them. That's like, man, they didn't even pick up the shovel to start digging. And then look what it says. Others, like seed sown on the rocky places, hear the word at once and receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. There are those people that actually have a Bible at their house. Or if I want to stay with the digging imagery, there are the guys that you see when you're driving down the road. Now, I don't know. I don't see it happening as often in Texas because we got big machinery here in Texas. But back in Tennessee, where I'm from, they use these things called shovels, which is what I'm talking about. And a lot of times I would see there was the TDOT, which stood for Tennessee Department of Transportation. And those guys all wore orange, and they drove orange trucks, so you could see them quite easy. But I promise you, every time I drove by, this is terrible, every time I drove by, there was these guys that had a shovel, and guess what they were doing with it? They weren't leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. They were leaning on that shovel, you know, it was supporting them for that day. I was like, did these guys ever work at all? Just anyway, that's a whole nother story. Do you realize Christians can do the same thing? Well, we can show up at church, we can bring the good book, you know, we pulled it off the dusty shelf. Here, let me wrinkle up a page so it looks like I've been using this thing a little bit right here. Okay. I guess for those of you that have the new technology, your screen has some scratch marks on it showing. All right. All right, and there's a third group, still others, verse 18, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. These are the people that dig, but they're easily distracted. They remind me of that movie Up. I forgot the name of the dog, but remember where he goes, squirrel? And the dog looks, you know, there's an ongoing joke in the McCord family when a particular male in the household, I won't tell you which one it is, gets distracted, which occurs sometimes, very often. The woman of the house will go, squirrel, and that helps me refocus. Verse 20, thank goodness we have verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, and even 100 times what was sown. Christian growth, listen to this, church family, here we go. Christian growth and productivity is directly related to the word of God at work in our lives. You cannot mature and you cannot be productive. You see, productivity requires maturity. So you can't get matured enough so that you can be productive in the ways that God has designed for us. And the only way that this process occurs is for us to have the word continually being sown into our life so that growth and maturity occur, so that productivity occurs. Are you sowing God's word into your life, folks? I'm asking you about, are you reading your Bibles? Are you reading your Bibles? Have y'all ever been driving down the road and seen a field that had been planted with a particular crop, say corn, and somewhere over there in this cornfield there's this gap where it looks like, it makes you think maybe the planter ran out of seed, or maybe the farmer, maybe he was planting for a while and he ran out of seed, or something went wrong. So you get all this field, and in the field there's this gap where no seed was sown, but there is stuff that's there. Because the soil was designed to produce growth. There is stuff there. It's just not the good seed. Amen? And if you don't put good seed into your life, you will get covered with what? Weeds, church family. It's either seed, God's seed, or the weeds of this world. And so without good seed, we're going to be covered up in weeds. I want to share with you a living illustration that I continue to be, well, it just makes me smile every time I think of Edward Montalvo. I got to share with you. I'm going to embarrass you for just a minute, Edward, if it's okay. Edward's been, raise your hand so everybody knows who you are. Okay. All right. And Edward's going, I don't know if I want everybody now to know who I am. But Edward's been doing the men's devotionals for our prayer breakfast. And the interesting thing about Edward is he doesn't have a clue. That was supposed to be funny. And then I was going to say, and I'm scared now, he's too dumb to realize it. That was supposed to be funny. But he loves God too much to stop. He loves God too much to stop. Edward's one of these guys just started showing up at men's Bible study. And then the next thing I know, he's back there cooking for the men's prayer. I said men's Bible study, but I mean men's prayer breakfast. So he started showing up. And then he starts showing up in the kitchen, and he's cooking. And then he starts giving some devotionals. And now he thinks he's ready for prime time. This guy has no quit in him. And he's not smart enough to figure it out. But he loves God too much to quit. I called him yesterday. I said, Edward, you're going to lead life group tomorrow at our life group, okay? And you know what he said? He said, okay. He said, okay. And you know what, church family? That's all you need to do. All you need to do is just do the next right thing. Take the next step with God Almighty. And the next thing you're going to know is there's going to be a great and powerful man of God who is thoroughly equipped for every good work because he says, okay. It's not so bad, is it, Edward? You may be smarter than you look. All right. I'm right with you. Some of y'all years ago started reading your Bible. You got frustrated because you didn't understand something and you felt a little defeated rather than seeking help or talking and having good discussions with brothers and sisters in Christ, you decided to shelve that thing. Put it on the shelf. I'll let the smart people figure that out. Instead of digging, show up to church with your shovel. You hit some rock. You know what you do when you hit some rock, church family? You get a pick. Unless you're mending. You're supposed to stay away from picks. Spend a lot of time in the hospital and $55,000. Y'all, I don't know why they charge you like an exorbitant amount of money, but then the actual cash that we're going to pay is $6,000. And the funny thing is, I just got to thinking about it. See, when I realized it was $55,000 and I'm only going to have to pay $6,000, then I feel good about paying $6,000. When actually, it should have just cost $6,000. Amen? See, are y'all following me on that? Is there some health professionals here that can straighten this out? I'm sorry, squirrel. Don't give up. Somebody just got it. Marshall's a little slow. If anybody's listening to this sermon on the internet, who's Marshall? Y'all know who Chuck Noll is, Bill Walsh, Jimmy Johnson, Tom Landry. You know some of those names there. Well, I got to tell you Tom Landry's story, squirrel. One time I was at Southwest Airlines in a terminal. I was waiting to get on the airplane. Sitting right across from me, this guy looked just like Tom Landry. And the more I looked down, I'm like, that's got to be Tom Landry. And I looked at him, and he looked at me. He's like, he had that look like, oh, no. Because nobody was around him, and nobody was bothering him. I said, are you Tom Landry? And he went. And I got up, and I went over and sat beside him. I said, look, my father-in-law thanks you. Hung the moon, the stars, the sun. You were right below Jesus in his life. And I said, it would mean the world to me if you'd write a little message to my father-in-law. So he said, to Nav Sniffen, best wishes, Tom Landry. It's all it was a torn-off piece of paper, and it's framed in Nav's house. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? You know what's great about Tom Landry is he was never a quitter, nor was Chuck Noll, nor was Bill Walsh, nor was Jimmy Johnson. As a matter of fact, between the years 1974 and 1993, those four coaches accounted for 11 of 19 NFL championships. You know what else they all share the same with? Not only were they great, successful Super Bowl champ coaches, every single one of them lost every single game their rookie year as a coach. Isn't that interesting? Every single one of them lost every single game their first season. Sounds like they went and got a pick. Amen? Now, that's a game. That is a game. A very lucrative game, but it's a game. Think about what we're involved in. We're involved in eternal things. We lead people from darkness to light, from sin to salvation, from guilt to forgiveness, from separation to reconciliation, from hostility to peace, from hatred to love, from bitterness to joy, from despair to hope, from being lost to being found, and from death to life. That's in the story. It's in the Word. And it's effective for our lives. And when we get infected with its effect, we become effective in the power of God at work and released into the world. Christians are involved in lasting, eternal things. So to be effective, we need revelation. We need God's Word. Church family, turn with me to 1 Timothy. Y'all, I haven't even got to the text that inspired this lesson. 1 Timothy, and this ain't it, but it's a good one. 2 Timothy, I was wrong. Chapter 3, listen to this, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul tells this young Bible lover. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and from how from infancy," how from infancy. Anybody got any babies in this church? "How from infancy," I lost my place. I get too fired up and I can't see. That's a double negative. All right. "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. All Scriptures God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God, woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Without the Word at work in our lives, we are ineffective. We're like people who dig a little here and dig a little there and dig a little there. Can you imagine with me? Gary's not here today. Shame on him. Y'all can tell him I used him as another illustration. He's dumb too, mainly for not being here. All right. Gary's a football coach at Rice. Can you imagine people, guys coming to the Rice High School football team and go, "Hey, coach, I want to play football. You know how to play? Well, I've got a football." Get it? You know how to play? Well, I've got a football. And I can kick it, and I know how to run, and I can throw it. And Coach Snyder says, "Oh, sure, come on. All right, our first game will be Friday night in September. Meet me about an hour before the game, and we'll get everybody dressed out, and we'll play ball," right? And so these guys, they come out, they dress up. Oh, they look good. I mean, they got the jerseys on. They're ready to do some raiding, the old Rice folk. And so they get out there on the team. The other team gets opposed to them, and there's this clash. And, folks, you know what happens? If that literally and really did happen, that's not what happens with Gary as a coach. He has his guys prepared. They're ready. But you know what would happen if you just show up with your football? It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly in a hurry, because you don't know what you're doing. Christians, we go around carrying a ball and say, "Well, I can pass, I can punt, I can throw," and we've not spent the time in the Word of God to be disciplined in our lives. You know what's going to happen to our lives on the game of life? It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. Too many Christians who have a Bible fail to open up the Bible, read the Bible, think about what they've read, and live what they've learned and share it with others. And as a result, it gets ugly. Rather than going too deep, too many of us just dig around somewhere else. And Satan always wins the day when Christians are distracted. Do I need to say that again? Satan always wins the day when Christians are distracted. Rather than being equipped with our knowledge of God through His Word, we become expired. And friends, when something has expired, you know what you need? It's time for a little renewal. Amen? Time to renew. And some of us have come here today with our renewal notice in hand. Now, with 1 minute left to preach, turn with me to Proverbs 24, verse 13. Proverbs 24, verse 13. Eat honey, my son. Now that's a command I can follow right there. Can I get an amen on that one? Eat. Anytime God says do something, it's good. I'm like, I'm in. I'm in. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet. I almost have to just slow down when you say it. It's sweet. Because it's just slow when it pours out of that jar. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Church family, you know what the worst thing that could ever happen to a human is, and that is to lose hope. It's the worst thing that could ever happen. We need a reason to live, church family. We need a reason to live. And so when we have hope, we press forward even through the most difficult of circumstances. When you have hope, you can keep pressing forward. When you lose hope, you either go rabbit on folk or you go turtle on folk. You know what the rabbit does? Rabbit's just going to go quick. He got to go find a pleasure. He's just running from this pleasure to that pleasure to this pleasure. And that's what rabbits do until they wear themselves out with pleasure. Don't push that metaphor too far with me, okay? The other is the turtle. What does the turtle do when he loses hope? When things go south, what does he do? I don't like that saying because I'm proud of the South. When things go north, what does he do? He does this, right? He pulls in. Almost every one of us, when we lose hope, we either go running for the next closest immediate pleasure or we withdraw and we pull in. We do the rabbit or the turtle thing. There is something that God's Word says here that we can have hope, and hope is directly tied to the wisdom. We need revelation from God. We need God's wisdom in our life. And when we have wisdom, it says that your hope will not be cut off from you. What happens when you cut something off? What does it do? If you cut something from a living thing, plant, person, whatever, if you cut something off, what happens to it? It shrivels. It changes color. It begins to rot. It dries out, and it turns to dust. That's what happens to us when we are not deeply rooted and connected into God's Word. God's Word is living. Oh, it's living, the Hebrew preacher says, and it's active. And this is what we need in our lives. John 6, verse 66 through 68. Jesus says, well, the Bible says, from this time on, many disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus had given some tough teaching. Rather than getting a pick out and hanging tough with him, they decided, I don't know if I can hang with that. And Jesus says to his disciples, you don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of what? Eternal life. When someone builds their house on the Word of God, what happens? When the hurricane shows up, gale force winds, torrential rain, streams rising, it's pounding away. But if it's built on the rock, what happens? You survive. You and I survive when our lives are built upon God's Word. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says, but my words will never pass away. I want in on that, amen? Do you want in on that? I want something that is constant, lasting, enduring, eternal. How good is God's Word? I'll tell you how good God's Word is. Y'all don't mind if I eat a little honey up here, do you? Nobody's saying anything. That's because y'all jealous. Y'all are jealous. Now, I'm going to do this right here. This is local grown honey over there in Bowling. There's some weird people come from Bowling, but the honey's good. You see that half a teaspoon right there? Can y'all see that? Half a teaspoon. A bee, one worker bee, spent traveling 500 miles to gather enough nectar to fill a half a teaspoon of honey. They say to produce a jar of honey, it would take 20 to 40,000 bees, and that collectively they will have circled the earth three times to collect this good stuff right here. You know what's great about honey? Everything. Can I get an amen? You got honey barbecue sauce, honey butter, honey mustard. That's what you season stuff with. You can make stuff with honey like honey cornbread, honey biscuits, honey bread, honey yogurt, honey oats, honey baked beans, honey nut Cheerios. I didn't make that, but I eat them. Honey baked chicken, and best of all, honey baked. Wives can even make a honey do list. And if you're the sweet husband that you should be, you'll do that list. And if you don't, she'll turn from a honey into some buttermilk. People write songs about honey. There's American Honey by Lady Antebellum. There's Honey Don't by Carl Perkins. Honey Pie by the Beatles. Honey I'm Here, Shania Twain. There's the song Sweet Honey, Money Honey, Oh Honey. She works hard for the money. She works hard for it, honey. All right, that's enough of that. What's all this about? Honey. Honey is the standard of sweetness. It wasn't until some genius come up with sugar that's processed, that's terrible for you, that honey was replaced. Honey is twice as sweet than processed sugar. It's better for you. It's good for your heart, good for arthritis, urinary tract, cholesterol, cold remedies. Anybody have a hottie-totty that wants to admit it in the house of the Lord? It's good for digestion, for the immune system, skin, fatigue, bad breath. There's hope for Mike Moran. And weight loss. Just kidding. I've had too much honey this morning. Honey is rich in vitamins B1, B2, B3, B5, B6, C. It's got minerals like calcium, magnesium, potassium, iron, phosphate, zinc, iodine, sulfur, and copper. Just call me Copper John. I told you I had too much honey this morning. This stuff right here is amazing. There's two immediate benefits that come from honey. Number one, y'all, my morning's complete. Excuse me. They've got it at Novex. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Because you ain't getting mine. It tastes so good. Whew, man, it's good. But you know what? Because it's natural. Y'all realize everything that God makes, and if we don't mess with it, it's really good for us. Honey's one of those. Honey, because of the way it's processed. Do y'all know how honey's processed? It's processed naturally by bees. Bees get the nectar. They swallow it. It goes into the bee's honey stomach. And then they regurgitate it. And they pass it on to other bees. And then they regurgitate it. It gets regurgitated several times, like 40 or 50, maybe even 100. Every time it's regurgitated, the quality of the sweetness gets better and better and better. You could say this is the best puke you will ever have. But the great thing... But the great thing about this is it gives energy. It's natural energy. It's a healthy energy. So it tastes awesome, and it gives you great energy. When you're famished and you're exhausted and you're weak and you're frail, honey will change it. God's word tells us that not only do our bodies need to be fed, but also our souls. And many of us have weak, famished, low-energy souls. God's Word is this incredible reservoir of water waiting to be dug into and tapped. And it's there for you. Would you nourish your soul, church family? I can't imagine what would happen to this church family if you and I went deep into God's Word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that there's this wisdom of the world, and then there's this wisdom of God. And that's Christ in His Word. And when you and I immerse ourselves and we swim around in the wisdom of God, Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Are you struggling with that mind of Christ? Listen, God's Word is here. His hope is wonderful for your life. Psalm 19:10, and I'll close with this great word from God. The law of the Lord, God's Word, it's more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. In keeping them, there is great reward. You want to go dig another hole? Or go deeper in the one that God has provided for you? If we can serve any of you, come forward while we stand and sing.